Professor George L. Landis speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. We're very happy to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We will read a few verses from the 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel, one of the most marvelous portions of God's Word. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. From our subject announced, the dying thief, I presume that you're expecting me to speak concerning the repentant thief, that vile wretch who in the hour of death repented of his sin and cast himself upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ beside him on the central cross. Perhaps in your mind are the lines of that beautiful hymn, The Dying Thief Rejoiced to See That Fountain in His Day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. A servant of Christ was once seeking to lead a man to see his need of salvation. He stressed the fleeting and uncertain character of time, urging the sinner to accept Christ at once, while it was still the day of salvation. After admitting the facts called to his attention, and assenting to all that the Christian worker had said, the man glibly replied, Oh, I'm going to be like the dying thief. To this, the spirit-led Christian replied, Which one? For strictly speaking, there was but one dying thief. The other thief began to live that day. Though dying physically, he received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. It is of the dying thief that we desire to speak. The unrepentant thief does not receive sufficient attention in the preaching of the events of Calvary. For the most part, he is eclipsed by the wonderful story of his repentant companion. And yet, in actual experience, I feel confident that there are many more examples of the dying thief than of the one who turned in his last hour to Christ. Multitudes of people are rejecting the gospel with the expectation that, if worse comes to worse, they can make a deathbed repentance. They should remember that God has seen fit to give the account of one man who was saved in the hour of death, that none might despair, and only one that none might presume. While the dying thief may not have been a procrastinator, his experience is a warning to procrastinators. And we will look at him from that standpoint and observe the perils of procrastination, the first of which is the hardening effects of sin upon the unbeliever. This thief was once an innocent babe in his mother's arms, yet he became a bold brigand. He was once the delight and joy of his mother and became a murderer. Many think he was probably one of the band of Barabbas. This thief was a blasphemer. The lips that once were filled with childish chatter were here seen to be filled with profane raillery, for we read that the malefactors railed on him and cast the same in his teeth. Think of a man in the presence of the Lord Jesus, hanging up on the cross to redeem sinners, and yet that man so hardened in sin that he blasphemes the Blessed One. Surely in the hour of death, one would be thinking of God and seeking his favor. Yet deathbed cursings are not uncommon. The defiance of a hardened sinner is terrible to witness. Then the dying thief was unmoved by witnessing his companion's repentance. The salvation of sinners often leads to the salvation of other sinners. The companion's rebuke, Dost thou not fear God? seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, left him utterly unmoved. The wonderful words of life spoken by the Savior to the other thief did not touch him, yet many eyes have been filled with tears as those words are read. But further, he was unmoved by the sight of the suffering Son of God. Christ's prayer for his persecutors, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His words to his mother in commending her to John. The agonies of that blessed one upon the central cross did not faze his flinty heart. Some people say that they would become Christians if they were sure the cross was a reality. The dying thief knew it was a reality and continued to curse. His heart was so seared and hardened that he had no sense of his own sin, as did his companion. His only thought was to escape the terrible penalty of his sin and be spared from the death that was staring him in the face. He failed to utter a single syllable about his own sin. He had no faith in Christ. His cry was, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." "If" is not in the vocabulary of faith. It is a prominent word in the dialect of agnosticism and atheism. No man was ever yet saved by an "if." "If" is a short way to spell unbelief. My unsaved listener, be warned by the dying thief. Remember, you will never feel more inclined to accept the Lord Jesus Christ than you do now. In fact, you'll feel less inclined as the days go by and the winds of sin so harden your soul that even a vision of Calvary itself will not soften it. The second peril of procrastination is seen in the fact that death is not a means of grace. Yet many regard it so. Multitudes vainly hope that in some mysterious way the presence of death will lead them to repentance. All such would do well to look at the dying thief and observe that physical suffering did not produce repentance. The thief hung on the cross for 6 long hours, suffering most excruciating pain, yet conscious all the while. But the pain made him think of himself, not of his salvation. His mind was occupied with the things of time, his present suffering, not with the things of eternity. The near approach of death did not produce repentance. Notice that the thief was fully conscious all the while, with plenty of time to think. His life was not snuffed out with a sudden stroke. What assurance do you have, my unsaved friend, that you will have even a moment of time to think ere death strikes you down? Life is very uncertain. We cannot tell what a day, nor an hour, nor even a second may bring forth. You may have a great fear of death, but that is vastly different from having faith in Christ. I remember years ago visiting an old man in the Cook County Hospital in Chicago. The nurse told me he was dying, and no one could dispute that fact. There he was, over 80 years of age, at the very brink of death, with nothing to live for on earth. I tried to tell him that God loved him and had given his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for him. I read to him the words of the Lord, where he said, "And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." I urged him right then and there to believe on the Lord Jesus, and I can still hear him say in his feeble voice, "No, I won't do it. No, I won't do it." Though he had the opportunity in his last hour, which you may not have, he would not avail himself of it, but like the dying thief, went out into eternity a lost soul. And now may we notice the third peril of procrastination concerning the matter of salvation. It lies in this, that the gospel is a savor of death unto death to the unbeliever. For as we read in 2 Corinthians 2:16 concerning the heralds of the cross, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one indeed, a savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. Contrary to popular opinion, the great sin of this age is the sin of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died upon the cross that sinners might be saved. He has done all that can be done for the sinner's salvation, but God will not force any to accept his Son. It is whosoever will, and some will and some will not. The same sun that melts the ice also hardens the clay. The beneficial rays of redeeming grace that melted the one thief's heart hardened the heart of the other. The difference between the thieves was in their attitude towards the Savior of sinners. And let never be forgotten that the unbeliever will be judged by the gospel which he has rejected and despised. As the Spirit through Paul says, in the day that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. What an awful sin to turn your back upon the good news of free salvation through the redeeming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief had every opportunity to be saved, wonderful opportunities, yet he despised and cursed the only one who could save him. And, sad to say, there are multitudes who are following his tragic example. Therefore, in view of these three facts, delay no longer in this matter of eternal importance. Procrastination may damn your soul. The way to hell is said to be paved with good intentions, the intention of being saved sometime. My friend, will you run to your doom over that pavement? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within. Voice I hear, sweetly the tones are calling, open the door for me. If thou wouldst heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Lonely without thee standing, lonely within am I, while I am still delaying. Will he not pass me by? Sweetly the tones are calling, open the door for me. If thou wouldst heed my calling, I will abide.